Good morning, early birds. You've caught the Weekend Worm, a special edition that recaps the top stories of the week. A heads up on what the newsroom is following as we move into the future weeks. It's the second weekend of August 2026, Saturday the 8th and Sunday the 9th. From the latest National Weather Service discussion on the region's weather, another warm and dry day today, Saturday, with areas of smoke likely across most of the region. Temperatures do start to cool off by the middle of this coming week. The chance for showers and thunderstorms will increase by the middle of next week as well, with the best area for precipitation to fall being over north-central Montana. After a big cool down that saw temperatures fall from highs well above 100 degrees on Sunday to lows that were some 60 degrees cooler in many spots Tuesday morning, the heat came up again this week. National Weather Service said temperatures would approach 90 degrees. They did by Wednesday afternoon. And as you might suspect, Montana fire officials are bracing for another round of critical fire weather this weekend. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien has more.
Increasingly hot, dry, and breezy, if not outright windy, conditions are expected to continue and peak by Saturday evening. The National Weather Service issued fire weather watches for many parts of western Montana. Meteorologists also warn of a growing fire potential in southwest, north central, and eastern Montana. Any fires that develop over the next several days will spread rapidly and be very difficult to control. Regional fires are showing active behavior. The 1,000-acre lightning-sparked Moose Fire southwest of Phillipsburg is burning in heavy fuel. The Granite County Sheriff's Office Thursday morning issued a mandatory evacuation notice for residents of the Frog Pond Basin. Missoula rural firefighters Thursday morning snuffed out a rapidly growing grass fire in the upper Miller Creek area. Stage 2 fire restrictions begin Friday in Mineral, Missoula, and Ravalli counties. Among other restrictions, that means building or using fires or campfires are prohibited until further notice. Most fires are human-caused. People are asked to be extremely cautious with ignition sources. There's no break in sight from regional wildfire smoke, which is expected to continue until further notice. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
More counties are putting their land under Stage 1 fire restrictions thanks to the state's hot, dry weather conditions. Phillips and Hill counties along the High Line, Roosevelt County in the northeast corner, and Stillwater County in south-central Montana have all been placed under Stage 1 fire restrictions. These restrictions ban campfires except where specifically exempted. It prohibits smoking except in an enclosed vehicle or building. Those bans also cover all Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks properties, including fishing access sites and wildlife management areas. The restrictions are in place until further notice, and for updates on FWP restrictions and closures in the state, go to fwp.mt.gov and click on the Restrictions and Closures tab. Continuing drought and high fire danger mean an open fire ban is now in effect in Wyoming game and fish lands. That applies to 45 wildlife habitat management areas, nearly 200 public access areas. That means any campfire, use of charcoal grills, coal, or wood-burning stoves is prohibited. Restrictions on smoking include a ban outside of enclosed vehicles or buildings or developed recreation sites. And again, in Wyoming, gas grills can be used when accompanied by a proper means of fire suppression. ATVs and motorcycles must be equipped with an approved spark arrestor. Widespread drought, hot temperatures, and wildfires across Wyoming are hurting the ability of ranchers to produce hay this summer and reducing the quality of forage in pastures. Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon issued an executive order to help. He authorized emergency relief permits for vehicles transporting oversized and overweight loads of livestock feed and livestock across Wyoming. The Wyoming Department of Transportation reminds drivers they still need to get the required permit and coordinate with the ports of entry on the route. The executive order is in effect for 30 days. It can be found on the Wyoming governor's website. Ann Simpson, the widow of former Wyoming U.S. Senator Alan Simpson, passed away last week at the age of 94. The couple married in 1954. They had three children, including former Wyoming House Speaker and one-time candidate for governor, Colin Simpson. Current Wyoming U.S. Senator John Barrasso paid tribute to Ann Simpson following her death, describing her as a champion for Wyoming arts community. He went on to say she will leave a legacy that will continue to support Wyoming artists for years to come. Alan Simpson passed away a little over a year ago. Montana, the largest union, has pledged their support for independent Montana Senate candidate Seth Bodner. The Montana Federation of Public Employees represents 25,000 workers across the state. The endorsement was announced Monday via a text message sent by Montana Freedom PAC, a group that has spent $1.6 million supporting Bodner. Last month, Bodner also received an endorsement from AFL-CIO, the nation's largest federation of labor unions. The independent candidate for U.S. Senate also fielded questions this week about his Democratic competitor at a press conference in Billings. It took place Friday. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche has more.
The deadline for Senate candidates to drop out is upcoming, and both independent Seth Bodner and Democratic nominee Alani Bankhead have committed to staying in the race. That's despite outside pressure over the possibility of a split ticket diluting either candidate's chances against Republican Kurt Almy. When questioned further by Montana Free Press reporter Tom Lutie, Bodner denied asking Bankhead to withdraw from the race or coordinating with PACs calling for the same, but he claimed she had asked him to withdraw during conversations between them.
And what did you tell her during those conversations?
The same thing I've told you, that we're building a coalition and that this is the campaign that's not only best positioned to win this race in November, but this is the approach that's best positioned to serve the great people of this state and affect the type of change that we need in the United States.
The candidate withdrawal deadline is Monday, August 10th. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
YPR reached out to Bankhead's campaign. Director of Strategic Communications Jerry Busey confirmed that Bankhead did ask Bodner to step away from his candidacy. She said Bankhead has no intention of dropping out. The governor's office is taking feedback for a temporary appointment to the board that sets Montanans' electricity fees. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche filed this report.
Governor Greg Gianforte, in a news release Thursday, listed five people up for consideration to represent South Central Montana on the Public Service Commission. Commissioners are typically elected for four-year terms and regulate the business dealings of investor-owned utilities like Northwestern Energy. The appointee will serve for 1 year in the absence of Commissioner Brad Molnar, who the governor suspended over allegations of misconduct. Candidates include former Commissioner Kirk Bushman, Montana Environmental Information Center employee Nicholas Fitzmaurice, veteran nonprofit owner Nicholas Luce, former Carbon County Commissioner John Prinke, and current Yellowstone County Museum Board member David Wazenreed. Each candidate filled out a series of questions about their expertise, community service, and professional conduct as part of their applications. The full applications can be found on Governor Greg Gianforte's website on the Boards and Appointments page. The governor's office is taking public input on the candidates until August 20th. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
There is a new twist in the effort to put data centers to a vote in Yellowstone County. YPR's Kay Erickson sorts out the details.
The deadline for submitting signatures for the Yellowstone County Data Center Voter Approval Initiative may have already passed. Yellowstone County Attorney Scott Twito sent out a memo Monday that the applicable statute for this local initiative effort is a new law passed in 2025, requiring an 85-day certification deadline and signatures to be submitted 4 weeks before certification. That deadline under this new statute was July 13th. Twitle told YPR he became aware of this new statute by attorneys for the data center Quantica late last week. Initiative organizer Cassie Solberg and the other volunteers have been gathering signatures to submit to the county election office by August 12th to verify the signatures. When contacted by YPR, Solberg said this recent statute should have been on the county's radar. She stressed that the people deserve a voice in the matter, and the county has been trying to stop us at every turn. Solberg said they would continue to gather signatures. When asked what's next, she suggested that they may challenge the deadline in court or ask the county for a special election. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
A federal judge has ordered the release of a man who was arrested in Montana last month by Customs and Border Protection. Jesus Hernandez was detained July 30th. His attorneys say federal authorities were initially looking for another man and pressured him to agree to self-deport. Since his arrest, Hernandez has been held in a number of facilities around the state, most recently at the Cascade County Detention Center. His lawyers say Hernandez was one of a number of men being held at that facility under similar circumstances. A separate court order has prevented any of them from being removed from the state ahead of a court hearing later this month. Wyoming counties that allowed their law enforcement officers to be deputized as U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents did so illegally, according to information obtained through a public records request by the American Civil Liberties Union of Wyoming. Eric Galatas with Wyoming News Service has more.
Critics of the federal 287G program say it's diverting law enforcement resources away from public safety priorities. Jana Farley with the ACLU of Wyoming says it also keeps people from calling for help when crimes are committed.
If they see something going on in the community, they're going to be less likely to call law enforcement because they don't want to have a magnifying glass on their community. They could get caught up into ICE and perhaps someone they know or love could be deported.
All Wyoming counties failed to hold a notice or comment period before entering into agreements with ICE, a violation of the Wyoming Administrative Procedures Act. Farley adds Campbell, Hot Springs, Lincoln, and Natrona counties were unable to produce any records showing that the agreements had been approved by county commissioners. Defenders of the 287G program say it's necessary to fulfill President Donald Trump's campaign promises of mass deportations. I'm Eric Galatas.
Montana Department of Livestock has withdrawn its notice to potentially suspend the license of the Metagold Milk Processing Facility in Billings. That plant had been at the center of an investigation into the spoiling of milk before the sell-by date stamped on containers. The department tells Yellowstone Public Radio the issues that led up to the notice being served have been corrected, leading to the withdrawal of the notice on Friday. After no new measles cases in 3 weeks, Wyoming's Teton County lifted its state of emergency. It declared that emergency in early July after an outbreak of the highly contagious disease. The county had 5 cases. There were exposures at businesses in Grand Teton National Park's Coulter Bay and at the Target in Jackson. The outbreak came amid the country's highest spike in cases in 35 years. Officials held vaccination clinics and urged the public to get the vaccine if lacking. The State Department says the MMR vaccine is the best way to prevent measles infection. The yearly point-in-time count in Bozeman shows a steep decline in homelessness there, the first reduction in years. Advocates point to a regional housing strategy, which includes investments in support services, as reasons behind the decrease. The area has increased emergency shelter capacity in recent years, with 3 facilities capable of sheltering hundreds of people opening since 2023. The one-night count conducted in late January found 394 people in Bozeman experiencing homelessness, a 25% decline over the 523 counted about a year earlier. While the numbers are positive, community groups say they continue to see significant need, adding that housing remains out of reach for many households. 3 feral domestic rabbits in Yellowstone County have tested positive for the fatal rabbit hemorrhagic disease, virus 2. YPR's Kay Erickson reports.
The rabbits were part of a population of rabbits on the Rocky Mountain College campus in Billings, according to a news release Wednesday from Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. School staff reported multiple dead feral rabbits on campus late last month. The carcasses were sent to the FWP Wildlife Health Lab in Bozeman, where the disease was confirmed. The disease, RHDV2, is highly contagious and is often fatal for wild and domestic rabbits and other lagomorphs like hares and pikas, but it's not known to infect humans or other animals. The symptoms may include fever, lethargy, and decreased appetite, but death is so rapid, symptoms may not be detected. Domestic rabbit owners should use extreme caution, prevent contact with wild and feral rabbits, and talk with your veterinarian if you have any questions. FWP urges people to discover feral or wild rabbit carcasses in the area and report them to the local FWP office or the FWP Wildlife Health Lab in Bozeman. RHDV2 was first detected in Yellowstone County in 2021. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
Native tribes and conservation groups are preparing to sue the Trump administration after the president signed orders to sharply reduce the size of 2 national monuments in Utah. Mark Richardson with Utah News Connection has details.
Republicans are celebrating the move, while tribes and environmentalists say it strips protections from culturally significant public lands. Governor Spencer Cox and Utah's congressional delegation joined the president to celebrate the signing of the orders. Steve Block, legal director for the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, calls conservatives' vision for the state's wildlands wrong-headed.
Mike Lee's vision of the American West is not one with sweeping federal public lands. His view is Utah should be the South Carolina of the West with almost no public land.
Trump reduced the area of the Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments by about 3 million acres from their current boundaries, roughly 90% of the original protected area. I'm Mark Richardson.
Northwest Montana has a below average huckleberry crop this year. Bears are now looking for alternative food sources and getting into trouble as a result. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
Following a few consecutive years of huckleberry bumper crops, officials say this summer's yield in northwest Montana is lackluster. Hucks are a calorie-dense food that grizzly and black bears depend on.
And that's bringing them into these lower elevation areas where they're more likely to be experiencing conflicts with humans.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Park spokesperson Malia Freeman says resourceful and food-motivated bears are now actively seeking alternative food sources. Those include garbage, bird feeders, and fruit trees. Freeman says bear specialists are responding to an unusually high number of bear conflict calls this summer.
The specialists are expecting that that call volume is just going to continue to increase as we get closer to fall.
That's because bears need extra calories to prepare for winter. To reduce the risk of bear conflicts, Montanans are urged to store garbage in bear-resistant containers, temporarily remove bird feeders, and protect backyard livestock like chickens with electric fencing. While huckleberries are scarce in some places, some productive patches remain. FWP cautions that bears may be particularly protective of those spots, so people are urged to watch for signs of bear activity, make noise to avoid surprising them, and to not only carry bear spray, but know how to use it. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
The Trump administration announced last month it's dropping habitat protections in the Endangered Species Act. Now, conservation groups are suing. Wyoming Public Radio's Teal Davis has more.
Protections for habitat have been part of the Endangered Species Act for over 50 years. The July announcement removed them by rescinding the definition of harm. Tara Zuardo with the Center for Biological Diversity says it may negatively impact some of Wyoming's most vulnerable wildlife, like Canada lynx and the black-footed ferret.
There's just kind of a common sense recognition that if you're going to prevent extinction, you have to protect a species' home.
However, proponents of the definition change say the act was never meant to protect habitat. Some say potential prison time for violating the act was too severe. Zuardo says fish that depend on the Colorado River may also be among wildlife now vulnerable. Several conservation groups have filed a lawsuit to keep the harm definition and habitat protections. For Wyoming Public Radio and Report for America, I'm Teal Davis.
The state is well represented at the top of a preseason FCS football poll. The top squad in the Stats Perform FCS Top 25 poll released on Monday of this week is the reigning FCS champion Montana State Bobcats. Number two, the Montana Grizzlies. Round out the top five are South Dakota State, Illinois State, who the Bobcats defeated in the FCS championship, and Tarleton State. Two more Big Sky teams are in the top 25. Number six in the poll is UC Davis, who finished third in the Big Sky last year. Northern Arizona is the other Big Sky team, coming in at number 25. Finally, the Billings Symphony announces a new program to encourage the under 40 market. The Young Friends program allows kindergarten through high school students free admission. College students only have to pay $10. If you're under 30, you'll access deeply reduced prices, averaging 40% across the symphony's various shows. According to the symphony's press release announcing the ticket program, the program is designed to eliminate barriers and make live symphonic music more accessible to young adults and families at large. As Billings Symphony unfolds its performances through its 76th season, it will feature six conductor candidates for the permanent position as the symphony's conductor starting in the 2027-28 season. For more information, visit BillingsSymphony.org. That is the Weekend Worm for this second weekend of August 2026. Catch up with us Monday morning for the next edition of The Worm. I'm Carl Lengel. Have a great weekend.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.